You are listening to the Courage and Clarity Podcast, episode number 41. Welcome to the Courage and Clarity Podcast. I'm Steph Crowder, and these are real, honest stories from online business builders. These entrepreneurs had the gumption to go for it, and they're brave enough to share what it really takes to earn an independent living doing something you love. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's a really special day around here because we are kicking off season 3 of this podcast. I am just so excited to bring you yet another series of truly mind-blowing interviews with some of the most inspiring and savvy minds the internet has to offer. So since I know some listeners out there are probably new to the show, I want to give you a very special welcome. If you don't already know me, I am Steph Crowder. I'm a podcaster, and I'm one third of the team over at Fizzle.co, which is the place online for courses and community for creatives, freelancers, and entrepreneurs of all kinds. So people over there call me the Den Mama because I'm basically a total fanatic for all people chasing their version of meaningful work, and I spend time every day coaching thousands of entrepreneurs to do just that. So I love talking to people and having conversations about how to actually make your business work, how to do work that you truly care about. That's totally my jam. Now, on this podcast, we break interviews down into two parts. So first, there's the courage story, where my guests tell us all about the dark and really uncertain moments when they truly weren't sure if any of this was going to work out at all, and how they overcame those obstacles and what they learned in the process. Then, in the second episode, that's all about clarity. So the tips, tactics, and steps that you need to steal the expertise from these successful guests and apply it to your own work. So before we go any further, though, since this is the kickoff of season 3, I just want to share something with you guys. You know, back when I started season 1, I set out to create just 12 episodes, which included 6 incredible guests. And I did it that way, truth be told, because I wasn't sure how this whole thing was going to go. You know, I knew I wanted to step into a space that I saw here in the podcast world, the space that straddles inspiration and instruction. I really aimed to bring both of these elements to the microphone because you probably already know, I truly believe that we need to both cultivate vision and find a followable process in order to find meaningful work. But when I started, as with all things, I didn't know if it would stick. Would people listen? Would I like doing this? Would I get enough guests who wanted to come on? Would it be valuable? All these questions were swirling around in my mind. So that's why I decided to do just one season at first. And it's a tip that I now give to any aspiring podcasters who ask me for advice. Committing to just one season at first helps you feel like you've got a completed project if you do decide to move on and intentionally end it, versus having to quit and kind of feeling like you randomly just stopped podcasting and then you kind of feel like a failure because at some point you have to end it. But I feel so blessed and excited and grateful that this show has struck a chord with so many of you and meanwhile has turned out to be something that I truly enjoy and I feel really good at, which is such a great feeling in our work and I think something that all of us deserve. So for every single person out there who has listened, written a review on iTunes, followed me on social media, jumped on my email list, or just reached out to me somewhere on the internet to tell me that I'm making a difference for you, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for being part of this journey. I'm so excited about season 3. So let's get into it. Let's talk about today's episode, shall we? With me today, I have Raina Pomeroy, a life and business success coach who emphasizes heart-based business. She helps people pinpoint what's most important to them so they can become the go-to experts in their industries. So Raina has become a great internet friend of mine ever since I was actually interviewed on her podcast called Creative Empire, which she runs with Christina Scalera, who you guys heard back in season 1. Raina has a big heart. She's really fun to talk to. She's incredibly relatable. And I really think you're going to enjoy this courage story where she tells us all about her winding path to what she does today. Then in the next episode, our clarity conversation, Raina is talking to us about visibility, aka how to help people realize that you even exist so you can get clients and thrive. So let's dive into this courage conversation with Raina Pomeroy of RainaandCo.com. Okay, Raina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Steph.
I am so excited to have you. So for everybody listening, I met Raina. I was on myself, a guest on Raina's podcast with former Courage and Clarity alum, Christina Scalera. They have a podcast called Creative Empire. And I was a guest on that show. So I've gotten to know Raina a little bit. And I'm really, really excited to have her here with us today. So Raina, let's get started. Tell us about your business and how you earn your living.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And you were one of my first interviews. I'm so excited to be here. So yeah, I earn my living. I am the life and business success coach behind Raina and Co. And basically what that means is that I get to help people who have lots of big picture ideas, distill them down and figure out what's most important so they can become the go-to expert in their industry. And I do coaching one-on-one with my clients. I also lead retreats and workshops, as well as mastermind and group coaching programs.
Awesome. That's so cool. And I think this will resonate with a lot of people because there's, I think, a big portion of the people listening to this show are trying to figure out exactly what you just mentioned, which is like, what do I want to be known for? And what do I do really well? So for people who are in that space, I think in particular, the Clarity episode, which will be the one right after this, we're going to dive into Raina's area of expertise, which is visibility and how to really be known for your thing. So stay tuned for that because it's going to be an awesome conversation. So for you, Raina, I would love to kind of rewind the tape a little bit. So that's what you do today, and you podcast, you have your retreats that you run, you have clients. It's all awesome. And I'm sure many people look at you and think, wow, I'd love to do something like that. But take us back to the beginning. How did you get to where you are?
Yeah, it's such a windy, windy road. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that. Not knowing that your line to the thing that you want to get to is a direct one. So for me, I started as a social worker. My background is in operations and before that, even campaigns, like running political campaigns. And so kind of a weird path, right? And when I was in graduate school, I started my wedding planning business totally as like a creative side project. Mm-hmm. And it turned out into being like a full-blown entrepreneurial thing. So I had two things going. So my social work career where I was helping people. I was working in foster care, trauma care, and then in a university setting. And then I basically ended up leaving that job. I loved my last job at the university. And it just was too long of a commute. My family decided that we were moving. It was basically like 2 to 2.5 hours each way.
Oh, it's so rough.
I know, in DC traffic, I was like, what is my deal? And so we decided around the time that I went back from maternity leave. My little was probably about 3.5 months. And I remember the moment when I was like, oh, something has to give. And I didn't know what that was. But my son was screaming in the back seat. We were driving to daycare. And I was like trying to remember all of those, you know, lullabies and all the songs and trying to calm him down. And he's still screaming in the back seat. And I don't know if you're a mama, you understand what this is like, right? Like, yes. It's like so stress inducing and you literally can't do anything when you're like trying to reach back there and give him something. But I remember that moment so vividly and thinking to myself, I can't keep doing this. I don't know what this really is, but like the hustle was so hard. And so after that point, it was a while before I finally decided, okay, I'm going to quit this job. I don't know what's next, but I'm going to quit this job. Also quitting my wedding planning business because I felt like I was called to do something different. I wasn't sure what it was, but I wanted to at least be a stay-at-home mom for a little while. And so I quit in October and I had my last wedding in January. So I had a little bit of time when I was still working in wedding planning, but had quit my full-time job. And then I realized around December, January, my birthday's in December. So I remember that as like an anchoring point, but I was super depressed. I didn't have like a real identity. My son was starting to walk and it was just this culmination of, oh my gosh, I cannot just be this full-time mom. And I have no identity besides like a couple of these weddings that I was doing and literally just, you know, picking up things after my child and, you know, trying to feed this human. And that was just my life. And I don't know about you, but I felt like my identity was ripped from me. It was my decision to do that. But it was really tough to say, okay, well, all I am is a mom. It sounds really awful to say that, but I really did feel like that was a trap.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to pause there because there's just so much good stuff. And yes, I 100% identify with that. My little is about a year now. And so I'm like in that space myself.
You're in that space.
I'm in it. Oh my God. And I was lucky enough to have maternity, some time to step away myself. And I totally went through that. Even knowing that I was going to be going back to work, you know, that for mamas out there, you have this feeling that like, morning turns into night. You never know what time it is. You're like, well, there goes another day and I didn't even get out of my pajamas. And that probably sounds great to a lot of people who are really busy, but you can only be in that space for so long where you start to feel like time is just passing so quickly and I don't know what this doesn't feel meaningful, you know? And it's of course like keeping another, like I remember feeling like, oh, another day I kept my baby alive. Yes, like sometimes it really is that, like that's your goal for the day. But you get to a point where you're sort of like, I think a lot of us feel compelled to, you know, be connected to something more. It's and personally, I don't know about you, Raina, but I think that being a full-time mom is the hardest job. I think it's harder.
So hard.
Than anything else. I mean, I think that what I do now is easier than if I were a full-time mom. So my hat is totally off to all the full-time mamas out there. But that feeling that you had where you were like, I want to be something else. Can you just speak more to what do you think you were craving?
I think first of all, I knew I was craving like human interaction.
Yeah, for sure.
Just like that higher level interaction with people who were not, you know, 1 year olds.
Yeah.
And to be able to also give back in a way that I knew I was able to. So I have my master's degree and I felt like all I can do right now is raise this human, which is such a huge responsibility. I'm not trying to downplay that, but I felt like there was such a bigger contribution that I was able to make if I had something else in tandem with being a mom. So I started applying for jobs. I did not go straight into the entrepreneurial path, which most people assume, but I had a very, very part-time job with a business consultancy doing research and doing consulting stuff. And I wanted to work from home. I was very vigilant about like making sure that my lifestyle was protected and my son wasn't going to be impacted. But that job really allowed me to go from stay-at-home mom, who was very sad, to having some kind of, you know, being able to use my skills and my brain, and also being able to put him in daycare so that he could really start getting the social interaction again. Mm-hmm. And it ended up paying off because I got a little bit of time to myself.
Yeah. So I love this. So I'd love to dig in a little bit too, to like the headspace that you were in, because I have to imagine that you quit your job when you were doing the commute and you were like, okay, I totally get that. And I think so many people resonate with that. You're dropping your child off at daycare at 3 months old and you're just like, all you can focus on is all the time you're losing. And you're just thinking, oh my gosh, like I want to be there. I want to be mom. So you make the tough decision to be stay-at-home mom, but then you're not happy in that space. So was that a surprise to you when you found yourself like not happy with that decision?
Yeah, it was so interesting, right? Because I had told my husband, like, this is what I'm doing. Like, it's not just a Raina decision. It's like a family decision. Sure. And so he was totally supportive in doing this. And we were like looking at the budget and making it all work. But the assumption was that I would at some point go back to work, but we didn't know what that time frame was. And I wanted to do it on my terms. So like my brain was sort of already in that space of what's next. But I realized much earlier than I thought that it would happen, that I needed something quicker. And so, my husband never asked me like, oh, you said you wanted to, you know, not work and now you're working or you want to work again. So like, it was kind of like, it didn't feel like a bait and switch, but it kind of sounds that way. Right. And I think my husband was committed to supporting me through finding what it was that was meaningful for me.
Yeah.
And he really understood that being a stay-at-home was hard for me because I'm a very chipper, positive, you know, happy-go-lucky kind of gal. And during that time, I was not quite clinically depressed, but I was pretty much there. I was in a very big slump.
Yeah, totally. And I think what you spoke to before is what I connect with is connection. It's that piece of wanting to feel like you're having meaningful conversation, meaningful connection, and that you're bettering other people's lives, which I know is something that in your business today, Raina, and it's probably always been part of who you are. That's just something that motivates you and means a lot to you to be able to feel like you're impacting people's lives. And of course you're impacting your little boy's life, but you know, that's only so much when you see the great big world out there and all the things that you could be doing. So
for sure. And I think too, like I wanted both, like I wanted to make an impact in my family as well as the rest of the world. And it's actually like turned into this part of our manifesto in the Reyna and Co company that like, we believe that women are the anchors of our families and communities, and we are allowed and should be empowered to make an impact in various ways. And so I think that experience was so, I don't know, life altering for me, even though it was kind of a small, seemingly insignificant thing, but it really reshaped the way that I think about the way that women should work or not, right? Having that choice.
And I feel this is actually something I talk about with my own mom a lot. She says to me, because she stayed at home with us kids, which was a wonderful experience, but she was like, there has never been a more wonderful time to be a parent and be a mom, because the options we have are incredible. Like what the internet has made possible for us, I think is just, it blows my mind. It's
so true.
So the question I have too on this is, so you are in this space where you're feeling pretty low and you're like, where do I go from here? You start to look at jobs. Is it in your head that you're going to work for yourself again?
Not at all. So I think I was still in my wedding planning brain, but I wanted to kind of shift and figure out what was next. And at that time, I wasn't even thinking entrepreneurship. I was literally thinking, okay, so what are the other jobs out there that will either let me work from home or work really locally? And everything that I was finding was just not suited to what I wanted to offer and what I felt like. It's just like the matchup was not there.
Yeah.
And I was super vigilant about the fact that I was not going to, you know, start at an entry-level job, and I wasn't going to, you know, make minimum wage and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And it felt like that's what I was going to have to do if I wanted to take a job within the parameters that I had set for myself.
Yeah. So you're looking at these jobs and you're trying to find what feels like a needle in the haystack, and it's just
totally
not out there. But you do find the part-time job, right? So you did that for a little bit.
Yeah. So it actually ended up being like the needle in the haystack. It was through a connection. My friend worked at this company and was like, hey, I think you should just connect with this person and see if there would be a good fit. They were looking for something that wasn't exactly in my wheelhouse, but it was within, you know, reason. I had done similar projects like that. So they were willing to take a chance on me. It paid as well as I needed to be able to put my son in daycare. And out of that experience, there was a moment that I was thinking to myself, I was doing a lot of self-reflection, a lot of like self-improvement type of books and reading and research and all of that. And I was coming to the conclusion that one of the things that I did in my past career was coach training. And I was thinking, maybe I should pursue that a little bit. I really actually liked talking to people. I liked doing that. I didn't want to do the mental health stuff anymore. But I think so coaching is really about like, you know, figuring out what the potential is in a person. And I really liked that part of coach training. And I had a little teeny tiny, brainchild at some point that I maybe want to pursue this. Yeah. It wasn't even like a decision, but it was just like something that appeared.
A curiosity. It sounds
a curiosity.
Like.
Yeah.
Okay. So I do have one question about before you get to this evolution. I think is the word that comes to mind of how you decided to kind of start stepping into the space of coaching. So what's interesting to me is the definition that you just gave us of how difficult it was to find that part-time work, which actually ended up being a bridge job. We talk about bridge jobs, which is a fantastic tool for people who are trying to do exactly what you did, Reyna, which is literally bridge where you've been to where you're trying to go without really knowing. In your case, you didn't really know where you were going, which is great. But what I love about this, we talked about how the job was a needle in the haystack. There's a specific reason for that. It's because you had a set of values and a set of, parameters or criteria maybe that you knew would serve your family. So can you talk a little bit about how you developed that vision for what you were looking for? Because I think this is where a lot of people listening get stuck. We've talked a few times on this show about, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I can't be where I am. Like, I don't know how to pull myself out, but I know I'm unhappy where I am, which that was the case for you. You were not where you wanted to be in the stay-at-home mom space. You'd also done the commute. So you know what you didn't want. Talk to us about how you started cultivating that vision for what you did want it to look like.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this is terrifying for people, right? I know it was terrifying for me. And I think the first step is to admit that you want something different.
Ooh, yeah.
It's not even a decision. It's just saying, wondering. I think that there has to be something more. And noticing that there is that shift and saying, like, this place is not permanent. This thing that I have currently is not what I want and the kind of impact that I want to make on the world. I don't know what it is. I don't need to know what it is, but I need to know that there is something different out there.
Let's pause there for a quick second, because I actually think that's really big, because that is a big step. And we actually, in a recent episode, I had Rachel East and Kristen Walker of Clarity on Fire on the show. And we talked a little bit about this, where for a lot of us, that realization that you just mentioned, this sort of recognizing that this is my circumstance right now, but it doesn't have to be, that I think is a huge shift. A lot of us, I think, go through, we look at our reality and we accept it carte blanche. And we think to ourselves, like, well, this is just how it is. Like, yes. I chose to be a stay-at-home mom. So, like, this is just, I'm stuck. Or I'm commuting 2 hours each way because this is my job. Like, this is what I have to do. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, were you able to step back from your reality enough to challenge it?
Yeah, it was actually really challenging. I remember thinking through, like, oh my gosh, I can't even get to the place where I want to admit to myself that I need to change this. I was thinking to myself, there has to be something more. I remember in my university job, one of my past mentors, not at the university, came and spoke at a thing. And she came into my office and closed the door. She was like, Raina, how are you? Not just like, you know, how you doing? What's going on? But like, like, how are you? Like 17 layers deep, how are you? And I looked at her and I was like, something's got to give. I don't know what it is, but something's got to give. And she looked at me dead in the eyes and said, life is too damn short not to love every single day. And I was like, wow. Ooh. Yeah. And the context behind that statement is even heavier, because she had just lost one of her best friends to cancer. And I knew that. And it was that extra layer of, yes, you have energy, you have time, you have, like, I don't know, a lifetime ahead of you. But what if it was taken away? Would you want this to be the last day that you live? And I was just like, I don't know. So that was kind of a turning point to just at least opening my mind to admitting that I wanted something.
Yeah. Okay. So that's hugely powerful. And I had a similar experience where I think I heard a quote or something that was something like, imagine every day is its own lifetime. And I loved thinking about that. Like, if we die and then are reborn every new day, would I be happy with each individual life that I'm living? And that's a huge question. It's like, okay, if this is it, because I think we do live for the future. I mean, come on, we're conditioned to think like, when I retire, I'll do this, that, and the other. But if you take away, like, what if that's not a given? It becomes a markedly dramatic shift in all of us. Yeah. So you had this conversation, you left, I have to imagine, being like, whoa, okay. So how did you, like, pick up the pieces from there?
Yeah, I was thinking to, like, I had these very long drives, so I had a lot of time to think to myself. But I started to voice record kind of my process, because I was basically talking to myself and my child. And so I was like, you know, what if this was something different? You know, what if, you know, what am I unhappy with? And it was, I wasn't unhappy with my boss. I loved my boss. I loved my job. But it was stuff like the smaller details of my job. And I felt like I wasn't really quite reaching my full potential, and I wasn't able to give back in the way that I wanted to. And kind of like listed out the things, just doing a brain dump as I was driving. And this would probably be just as effective in a journaling form, but I didn't have that time. I was driving. So whatever works for you, right? And just kind of processing through all of that, I was basically doing therapy on myself. And just thinking through, like, I wasn't even coming to the conclusion of what the result would be. I was just processing. And this is such a important thing that we do in coaching. We often, in the world, not in coaching, the world wants us to get to the result. Like, what are you going to do about it, right?
Always.
And in coaching, we really, really emphasize the process of the thinking and what is that, the shifting of perspectives and looking at, like, what is versus what could be, and not even like figuring out what is the action you have to take to get to that thing, but like just saying, this is what's possible, right? Like, what is this, the beach perspective on this condition that I'm thinking about. And like, that might mean that I want more freedom. And like, what is the value that's coming out of all of this? And I identified a few values that I think were central to the way that I want to live life. And it was becoming more and more clearly, it was definitely not just in these drives, but over the course of, I would say, like 6 to 8 months, thinking through what was really important to me, you know, family being one of them, freedom being one of them, impact being another. Yeah. And those things all kept coming up, right? Like, and I realized a little bit later on when we were talking about that coaching thing, like that coaching was the thing that got me to get to this process of not the result, but the process. And we don't do enough of that inner work.
No, or in life, I think
that just in general,
you're right. Like we are taught to rush to solutions and to get over things and to move on quickly. And I think what you're talking about is hugely powerful, which is just challenging yourself to kind of sit in that space, as comfortable as it might be, of where am I at right now? Like, but without even trying to solve it, what's going on with me and why do I feel the way I feel? And then I think that's a beautiful transition to what you just talked about, which is, like, before I rush in this, because this is so typical and so natural, we rush in with all the reasons why we can't have what we want to have. Well, I'm not even going to allow myself to imagine I could have freedom and impact and family because mortgage, kids, life, blah. And we don't allow ourselves to explore that option without even thinking about the excuses. It's like literally, like you said, you mentioned beach thinking, right? It's like, if this were blue sky, like perfect world, what if? And I think that this is a huge, huge, huge skipped step, because like, where are we taught this in our culture? We're never taught to just kind of ask ourselves, if it were a perfect situation, no excuses, no obstacles, what would it look like? So I'm hearing that was kind of the starting point for you. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it was just like a process of exploration and a little bit of self-discovery with no intention to make a change. And I think that that's the thing that was most important for me. I didn't want to feel like I had the pressure to have to change anything at that moment.
That's great.
To make a decision. And I think, you know, sometimes life happens and you have to make a decision, but like in a lot of cases, we're just kind of going on day to day, trying to, you know, figure out where our next paycheck is coming from or whatever. And like, just kind of going forward. And I think we have the opportunity nowadays to shift that, as long as we make a plan, or, you know, in the future, you can make a decision and then make a plan from it. But I would say, like, take your time doing that self-discovery and not necessarily jumping into the plan.
Oh, I love that. This is very powerful for me, not having to put the pressure on yourself to make a change immediately. You don't have to rush in. There's an element here of flow. And I think trusting the process, that I really believe in this. And I talk about it a lot on this podcast and the Fizzle Show, which is trusting the timing of your life and understanding that this has actually been a big lesson in my career so far. I think I'm the type of person who in the past has tried to control the outcome, rush things, manage people and circumstances. And there's a huge shift, I think you're talking about, to allowing it to unfold.
My mentor, Amber McHugh, says, you're right on time. You're not late. You're right on time. And so, yeah, I struggle with that a lot because I'm very type A and I want, like, very much results oriented, want to succeed kind of thing. But I think just remembering you're right on time, whatever the decision is, it will happen. Not to say that we have indefinite periods of time, but like, if you feel like you're constantly late, just feel like you're, you know, chant to yourself, you're right on time.
Amazing. Because, and I want to move on now to the rest of your story, because I kind of heard you hinting at that, where you found the part-time job that allowed you to fulfill those values that you were hoping for. And then coaching just kind of became like a thought. You didn't take that part-time job thinking entrepreneurship. So can you tell us about that evolution?
So I had done some coaching, but with very, very little training. So you don't really need a certification or training in order to do coaching, which is kind of weird. But there is a certification program that you can go through. And I didn't have that when I was at the university, but I was doing coaching with students and doing this kind of potential seeking, which was totally different than the mental health model, which kind of focuses on the brokenness, right? And I really loved tapping into students' potential and seeing what was possible and what's the, you know, opportunity here. And it seems like life coachy and very fluffy, but I think it can be very transformative and a safe space to process things that we don't typically get to in life. And so I kind of cringe when people say life coaching, because a lot of people are not trained to do it well. But anyway, so I took that training back in the day. And then when I was at this point, newer point in this, you know, new life that I was living, I was thinking to myself, what did I love about my past, you know, careers? What are the things that I'm really good at? And some of those things were logistics. You know, I worked on a campaign. I did a lot of project management. I also loved talking to people. And I was like, what the heck does this ultimately result in? I also loved finding people help solutions, finding people solutions. I don't even know what that was.
Helping people find solutions.
There we go. I was like, what am I trying to say here? In my wedding planning business and like helping other people be, you know, have more sustainable and profitable businesses. And that kind of like all filtered into being a coach for creatives. I didn't know what the path was to get there, but I was like, I love creatives. I love the wedding planning industry and other artists. I love supporting people. And I think I want to get trained as a coach in order to be more legit and have a business on coaching. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I went through the Coactive Coaching Training Program, and it was like a full blown year's worth of, I think it was harder than my master's program, to be honest. But yeah, it was such a great learning opportunity where I got to process my own stuff and go through that training. And I think part of me was really terrified to do that work because I felt like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never done this before. But coach training is one of those things that if I hadn't done it, I would have felt not protected.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't have that knowledge base, even though I'm a social worker, I've been trained in all that stuff. It was totally different and a different, spin on that same, skill set.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you, I love this process. Again, it's, you're doing the work that you found working from home, and you start once again, kind of reflecting on, okay, I've made a step in the right direction, but I still feel like I could tap into the things I'm really good at. So to close us out here, before we get into the clarity episode, to kind of put a bow on your story here, for people out there who are trying to get to this place where they want to distill down what they're good at and put that into yep. practice. Can you talk a little bit more about the process that you went through to figure out, okay, I think this is what I can offer people?
Yeah, honestly, Power Sheets. Laura
yes,
Casey.
I use them too. Love them.
Yeah, Cultivating What Matters team puts together Power Sheets, and I did my first set in 2014. And that was the thing that made me realize what I really wanted to do and what lit me up. And it was like my first life coaching training on paper. It was the thing that got me to decide that's what I needed. Yeah, I think the one thing I would say too is when I started this business, I was terrified of getting clients. I come from this perspective of social work, right? Like, will work for change in impact or change in pennies. And I was terrified to ask for the sale, even though I had done the wedding planning thing. It was a totally different, you know, yeah, realm. Yeah. And so for those of you who are like scared of the selling process, know that it needs to happen, obviously, but like you're serving somebody. Like, this is such a needed skill that you have. And as long as you believe that you have something to offer, it's inevitable that people will want to buy it.
So I think that's actually a beautiful transition to the next episode. So we're going to talk in the clarity episode all about Raina's, I think, area of genius, which is visibility and really understanding how to make yourself stand out in the area that you want to be known for. And that includes getting sales and getting clients. So for people who are trying to stand out, trying to put themselves in front of their dream clients, be sure to tune into the next episode. But Raina, thank you so much for sharing your story. It has been so much fun to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for asking all the great questions.
And that's a wrap. Raina, thank you so much for coming on the show and jamming with me. It was such a joy to talk with you. Now, as usual, I'd love to share my favorite highlights from this conversation I had with Raina. First of all, I feel like there's just so much familiarity here in Raina's story that everyone can resonate with, but especially for the mamas among us. To have your tiny baby screaming in the backseat as you have a super long commute and then have that something's gotta give feeling that Raina described, that moment, as hopeless as that can feel, is the exact kick in the pants that all of us need to start us on a path towards exploring what else might be possible. It's that feeling of, I don't know exactly where I'm going, but I know that this is not sustainable, that this is not my path to happiness, which led Raina to start thinking about how she could make a change. Now, Raina told us about a friend of hers who came into her office, closed the door, and asked her how she was really doing. This friend had just lost someone to cancer, and she said, "Life is just too damn short," which got Raina thinking, if my life were taken away, how would I feel about today being my last day here? How would I feel if this were my last day on Earth? And according to Raina, that was really just a question that stuck with her and got her thinking deeper about what she would rather be doing with her time instead. Now, this led us to what I think is my favorite takeaway from this conversation. The way Raina really allowed herself to wonder about what might be possible for her future without jumping to a resolution right away. I love this. In our culture, we're conditioned to find fast solutions and quick fixes. You got a problem, you go ahead and fix it. But as Raina showed us here, sometimes allowing ourselves to ponder what we might be good at and what the ideal situation might be without having all the answers, that can be extremely valuable. And this curiosity that Raina had allowed her enough space to truly step back and challenge her current reality. So then, and only then, could she start to see what actually needed to shift in her life in an intentional way. So then we touched on how helpful a bridge job can be. So for Raina, this was that part-time job that she took working from home after she decided that she needed to work on something outside of motherhood. So because she had allowed herself to ponder and identify what was truly important to her, aka her values, she was able to find a job without sacrificing what she cared about. So in this case, those values were freedom, family, and impact. These were the big three things of utmost importance to Raina. And so she was able to seek out a temporary job that protected these values while she figured out what to do next. So I think this is truly what makes jobs feel soul-crushing to us. They compromise our values in one way or another. So again, for Raina, this was freedom, family, and impact. She needed to have a job that made her feel like she had flexibility and freedom. She wanted a job that allowed her to be with her family and be a new mom to her baby boy. And she really cares about making an impact. As you can hear in this conversation, and if you get to know Raina online, she's all about connection and making a true impact with people. That's just how she thrives. So having spent the time really thinking about this stuff, she was able to find a job that did not compromise and sacrifice these three core values that really help Raina feel like she has meaningful work in her life. If you liked this conversation and you want to say hello, I'd love for you to show Raina some love. Find her on Instagram at Raina and Company, all spelled out. As for me, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Crowder with an underscore at the end. On Facebook, I'm at facebook.com/courageandclarity. And guys, jump on my email list if you haven't yet. Head to courageandclarity.com/guide. That's going to get you your totally free 17-page handbook for season one of this show. It's all the best highlights, recaps, and cliff notes from my first six guests delivered straight to your inbox. I share special tips and action steps exclusively with my email friends every single week, so I'd love to be able to include you. I can't wait for you guys to hear Raina's Clarity episode that's up next. So pop over to the next episode in your feed to listen. And until then, I'm wishing you the courage and the clarity to go after what you love.